Take your Bibles today and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You'll stand when you get there. I do want to say, we'll see the first verse starts off, "Enter by the narrow gate." And we praise mothers on Mother's Day, and we should. But I'm so thankful for the men, the godly men, and the godly fathers in this day and age when you don't see it much in the news media or on TV that make a stand for Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. All of you here at this church, it's an honor to serve beside you. I love you more than you'd ever know. Thank you for what you do. Okay, you godly men and the women too. Okay, let's read from God's word. Verse 13, the Lord says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Let's pray. Father, your word to us is our life. And you tell us in your scripture, in Psalms 138, that you put your word equal to your name. And that should tell us right there how serious it is and how dependable it is that we can follow it. We thank you for all that you do, for giving it to us, and that we might enter in. We thank you for all on the Sermon on the Mount that you have taught, your commands that we should live by, and what you show us. I just pray you be with us today. Help us to glorify you in worship, that our minds would be completely on you and our hearts given over to you. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been in Matthew for a while now. Jesus has taught the people and has taught us his commandments and the way that we should live and the way that we should act. And of course, it is labeled correctly the greatest sermon that has ever been preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. And these few verses that we're going to go through here is the end of the sermon, the end of the teaching that he gave them on the Sermon on the Mount. It is the conclusion. It is bringing everything together in what he wanted to show them. So it's very, very important that we see it. And I'm going to go through more verses than we just went through there. But the verses 13 through 14 that we just read, sometimes they're preached, and there's nothing wrong with that, on making sure that you are right there and you're in that gate, that narrow gate. But sometimes people leave thinking, okay, those verses seem to make me believe that it's very difficult to be saved. That Jesus makes it very narrow, that it's just a little bitty gate, and it's very difficult to be saved. And some people will kind of tell you that and lead you to believe that. That's not what it's saying here. Jesus has given us his whole teaching all the way through, and now he comes to this, and he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction," and that is true. With every class that you took in school, and some of your teachers here, there comes to an end of the class when you've taught all semester, you've taught the whole year, and you come to the very end of the class, or if you're a student, you've gone through the whole thing, you've finished the book, you've heard the last lecture, and you've took the last test. And there was a conclusion, and then you had to go out and put what you learned, hopefully, into practice. All you teachers hope your students did that, don't you? All the effort that you put forth. That's the conclusion. You put it into practice. But if you only enrolled in the class just to say you were there and didn't learn anything or never intended to use any of what you've learned from the teacher, then it could be said by wise people that you took the wrong road. You spent all of that time, you learned all of the things in class, and you never really took anything and learned from it. You just tried to pass the test, and that's it. And by going out into life, you just took the wrong road because you didn't know how to apply it, or you didn't apply it. So in these last verses, as I've just said, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives no commandments, really, because he's already given the commandments, okay? But it encourages obedience to those already that have the commandments that we've seen and that we've learned, okay? It also gives a warning to those who would ignore and be disobedient. So what he's going to conclude here is everything that I've taught you so far, you need to keep, you need to pay attention to, you need to live by, because there's a narrow way that comes to me, but there's a broad way that people ignore and they just go by the world. And we see that in the world today. Of all the descriptions that man's given to men and women and their accomplishments, Jesus narrows it down to two categories of people in the whole world. Just two. Okay, in this. He just told them that the whole law and the prophets taught a righteousness unto God that put others first. That's what we should have learned through this whole thing. Remember the very first. We learned that there's a righteousness to God that gives us a right standing before God. And there's a righteousness that is demanded that's a little more than what the Pharisees were teaching or what they got out of the law. They were doing enough just to barely get by. And Jesus has taught us through all of this, no, God wants you to go a lot farther than that in your righteousness, in your love, in your self-sacrifice, in what you do for him. Go the whole mile. Remember the teaching? Go the extra mile. It might cost you a little bit. It might take you a little time. You might be a little tired. You might get a little tired of it. You might be put out a little bit. That's the human nature. But he says, I'm commanding you and asking you to go that extra mile, because that's what he did. And that shows the love of Christ and that shows the love of God. So he just told them all of that. A life of servitude that shows, like I said, a love of God above all else. God's calling prompts us to ask, to seek, and to knock, which is just in the verses right before this, okay? You ask, you seek, you knock in prayer, and you keep doing it to the Father is what it says, and it will be open to us through faith. So the invitation is to enter, but it's through the narrow gate, which is the first category of the first category of people. Those that enter through the narrow gate. The second category is of people that choose another way. And Jesus said it leads to destruction. Notice the word choose and notice the word enter. Jesus didn't say, I'm making it hard for you to enter. It's an invitation to all. He says, come, enter this gate. This gate is here. You have the opportunity to do it, but people choose the other way, and it is a road to destruction. My goodness, we see them on the news going crazy. And how many of them out there are going to say one day, nobody told me I was on a road to destruction. You passed by me. You saw me, but you didn't tell me. I might have disagreed with you. I might have gotten in your face. But Jesus said we need to tell them, and you should tell them there's a road to destruction and you're on that path. The people that keep the teaching of Jesus because they belong to them are these. Number one, they select the narrow way. Number two, we will see they bear good fruits because that's a result of selecting the narrow way. And number three, they are built upon the solid rock, which we're going to see through this. That's the three cases of us sitting in here, I hope, this morning. You've chosen the narrow way, you have fruits that prove that, and you've based your life upon the solid rock of what we're fixing to find out here in a minute. Verse 13, let's go back to that. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. That's sad words from Jesus, that there's many that are going to go down that road to destruction and already have. Notice Jesus says, as I said, to enter. It's not just to a certain group of people that his invitation is here. It's not that you can bring anything with you when you come. You don't open the gate yourself because you can't. And it's wide open, but you are the one that has to enter. right? There's a way that seems easy, but it is a denial of oneself. There's a way that seems easy, but there's no following in it. There's a way that seems easy that claims Jesus' name but follows the world. It is a wide and broad way that gives plenty of wiggle room, but Jesus said it leads to destruction. People want to follow Jesus. They say they follow Jesus, but they still want that wiggle room in their life. The wiggle room to allow certain sins in, certain pleasures in, certain things that they've always done and they do not want to give up when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ that God says is against him. Certain ways that they want to look to other people in the world. I have to keep up my reputation, right? Certain ways that they will give in at work when the crowd is saying, doing certain things and acting up in the break room and we don't stand for Jesus. Jesus said it's a broad road. It's not a narrow road. It's a broad road that those people take because it's an easy road, because Satan makes it that way. It's a wide and broad way, like I said, that gives plenty of wiggle room. The saddest thing of all is there are many, Jesus said, that are going down that road and have taken that road. Many, he says. He says, there's a narrow gate, and it can be difficult, but this gate leads to eternal life. To serve Jesus can lead to trouble, and it can lead to difficulty. That's what he has told us. It's a narrow gate, okay, and it has trouble by it, and it can be difficult, but it is that gate that leads to eternal life. Not that we earn it, but it is just in that gate, okay? To serve Jesus can lead to trouble and difficulty, like I said. But the emphasis here on this gate, when we go back in Scripture and find out, is it just a regular gate? No. We need to go find out what he's talking about here. And if Scripture says anything about gate in another way, and it sure does. John 10:9 says this. Jesus does what? He didn't tell you about a gate. He tells you he is the gate. Understand this. Enter by the narrow gate. And in John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door, or that's translated gate. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. Now, the picture here to the people in this culture, they very well understood this better than we do, because they were very familiar with the shepherds and how the sheep came in and out of the pen through the gate. It's built very specifically. It is a rock wall up so high, and the entrance is narrow, but there is no gate that opens and closes there. You remember the verses in Scripture when Jesus says, they come in and out, and I feel my sheep, and I count my sheep, and I know the number, and they hear my voice, and they follow me. The sheep enter in through that gate. Do you know what the shepherds did and still do in Israel in some places when they get them in that pen? Because they would carry them all over the mountainous areas. They were looking for pasture. They knew at certain points of the year where all of this was, so they wandered with their flocks and their sheep, and they knew where these pens were. And so they had it worked out. This one would be here, this one here, and they would lead them into that pen for protection from the wolves and the other things that were out there that would kill them at nighttime. And the shepherd couldn't protect them in the dark, so he put them in that pen. Do you know what the gate was? The shepherd himself. The shepherd sat down in the narrow gate, and it was wide enough if he sat down that for most men, it reached from his hip to his feet, could touch the other side of the wall. He sat there or laid there and slept all night long in that gate. The shepherd became the gate. Jesus is saying here, you enter the narrow gate. In other words, not narrow for difficulty, but there's only one narrow in that way. It's me. I am the gate that you enter in through. It's a narrow gate. It's not many ways to God. It's one way to God. It's narrow. It's me. I am the gate, and you enter in through me to that protection in that pen for me. Because I sit at the gate. I am. Jesus said I don't have to open the gate. I don't have to build the gate. I'm actually the gate. You come in through me. Enter the narrow gate, but wide is the way that leads to destruction. What does the Bible teach in the end days in which we live today? That there's going to be many come, false Christ, claiming to be Him. There's going to be many scoffers that's going to say there's more ways to the Lord besides Jesus. That's the broad gate. That's the broad way. That's the lies of Satan. Jesus says it's narrow. One reason is because it's through me and me alone. One way. Amen. And that's all we need. That's all we want. But destruction comes by the other. So Jesus is telling them that. They would understand that picture of the sheep. He is the gate. And verse 14 says that what? It says it leads to life. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there's few that will find it. Or it could be translated too, there's few that are willing to do that. Because people just don't want to give up what they think they have in their life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a wonderful way and it is the best way. You go through Him and serve Him. You're not giving up your life, you're giving up the sin against God, which is bad for you anyway. Knowing this and telling them all this, now he says, I've told you how to come to God. It's through me. I am the gate, but I want to give you some warnings. He says in verse 15, beware of the false prophets. They're the ones that lead you by that broad way and down that path of destruction. It says, what do? He's already got them thinking about the sheep with the gate here. Now he says, who come to you in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The Lord tells us to beware, for there are those appearing and come through the sheep's gate that even look like and act like the sheep, that many people can't tell apart. But they're false sheep. They're false prophets. They're not silent or meek, but they prophesy. But they are false prophets. He said they come in sheep's clothing. So they look just like part of the church. They come in. They join a congregation. They put on a good front at first. They say all the right things. They know more scripture than you do. By golly, if they do that, let's put them teaching. There you go. Hey, they've been to this church and that church. Let's make them a deacon. They've been here. Everything like that. Jesus said, you've got to test the spirits. They come in looking like the sheep. You won't be able to tell them apart. But what? He said, but there's one way you will know, and it may take a little while. You'll know them by their fruits. You're going to know them by their life and how they live, what they say, and what they do when they leave the church house building. You're going to know them by their works. And it may take a little while. But he says this, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In other words, a thorn bush and thistles can't put out the good fruit he's talking about because they don't have that root and that foundation and they're not of that tree. In other words, these are not saved people we're talking about. They're false prophets that come into the church that the Lord has warned about. And he seems to be saying here, if you aren't careful, they'll get you on that road to destruction. Not that you've lost your salvation, but they'll pull you away in false doctrines and do other things. And we're seeing that in the end times here. Why do I know that? Because the Bible teaches that. And we're actually seeing it if you pay attention and listen to some people. He says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree, which is a saved person serving the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. He says, every tree that does not bear the good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Those that go by the broad way, he said, leads to destructions. He says, that's how you will know them. By their fruit, how they act, what they do. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And from such people, he says, turn away. Okay? We must test the spirits. Matthew 24, Jesus tells them here about the fruit in Matthew 24 in different places there, which is an end time teaching, really. He says, take heed that no one deceives you. That's going to happen in the end times. He's telling them here. He also says, many will be deceived. There's going to be a great falling away of the faith. There will be many false prophets, the Bible says, not just a few, but many rise up in these times. And sometimes they even show signs and wonders. That's an amazing thing. That these people, these false prophets that are not saved, are going to be able to show signs and wonders and do things that will even fool the sheep. Jesus said even the elect would be fooled, because that's in the tribulation period, if possible. There's going to come a time when Jesus is going to weed his garden. Verse 21. Says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a stark statement. That's a statement people should pay attention to. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, in that day, the day of judgment, not everyone that says that is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. If you've entered by the gate and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're trusting Him and He's your Lord and Savior, don't worry about this. But those that have gone down the broad way to destruction and are the false prophets, they should worry about this. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in Your name? Didn't I cast out some demons in Your name? And haven't I done many wonders in Your name? Yes, they might have used the name of Jesus and the demon had to flee because of the name. Some wonders might have been done in Jesus' name. And they might have fooled a lot of people also, though. Satan does that. Okay, Satan does certain things to fool people. Okay, making people think that they are these prophets or whatever, but Jesus says they're false prophets. He says, but I'm going to declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is a sad, sad thing. That one day people are going to face the Lord, having been false prophets. And He's not going to be fooled. Why? Because He never knew. He knew their heart. Their heart never was given to Him. They just played church. Or they were truly satanic and to deceive people in that way. We cannot judge someone's salvation. Only God does that. And God will sometimes, however, use people's work that don't belong to Him to further the gospel. Yes, He can take a lost person that presents the gospel, and it is the words, the gospel that somebody can get saved by. It's not that person, but He can do that and use that. He has in the past, but only someone that's truly given themselves to Jesus as He is truly Lord to them can call Him that in that day. The context of the verses before this, and seeing what comes from a person's life, and then the verses following what we're fixing to see here, okay, means that it's built upon and shows this true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The context of the verses that we just talked about, and then the ones we're fixing to talk about here, talks about those that belong to Him or those that do not. Jesus talks here. He says, I'm just telling you about the false prophets, and I'm telling you about those that don't belong to me. He says, let me tell you about those that do and those that don't, and how you can be. How you can enter in that narrow gate and trust me. He says in verse 24, therefore, having taught you all of this, whoever hears these sayings of mine, the whole Sermon on the Mount, everything that we've studied, you ought to go back and read through that again every now and then, the whole sermon, because He's serious about us keeping these commandments. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'm going to liken him to this. Now, when Israel And it's still that way today, even though they've changed it through some stuff. The mountainous areas there, when it could be arid sometime, but when it would rain, you would get what they call flash floods, and you've seen pictures here, but they would really rain there, and it would come down into the wadis or the ravines, and if you weren't careful, you could get caught up in a flood, and it could sweep you away. Okay? That's what it is here. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Where are you going to build? Where are you going to put the foundation of your life? What's it going to be built upon here? Okay? And they knew this well. He says, I'm going to liken them to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Not in the floodplain, not in the sand that could be washed away, but they searched and they found a place that was bedrock, that was good rock, and they built upon that. So when the floods came, he says, you're not going to be washed away. But he said, there are some people who hears my sayings of mine and do not do them. Go back over here to the broad way. They're not on the narrow way. They choose the broad way, the road to destruction, because it's easy. And look what he says. It's amazing. They hear his sayings. That's what he says here. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, they make a decision. They sit in church and they hear the sermons. They read the Bible. They hear in Sunday school. They hear the devotions, or somebody, family member, has talked to them. They hear the words to Jesus, and they make a conscious decision not to follow them and not to follow him. And what's he say that's like? He said that's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, found a good spot. It's an oasis. There's a pond, DJ, right there. You can catch fish out of them. Oh, man, bass big as you can look at. And there's palm trees, and it's wonderful. And let's build here because it looks great. It's what I want, but it's all sand. And like when the flood came in Noah's day, they weren't prepared. They're not thinking of anything until the flood comes along and washes that house away, because it's not built on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they chose not to enter by the narrow gate. Not that Jesus is making it hard. Now, he's not making a narrow gate for you to be hard to get through. That's not the emphasis here. They chose not to go through the narrow gate. He is the gate. They are discounting him. They are rejecting him. That's what being lost is. It's rejecting the Son of God that gave his life for us and shed his blood for us. And they are making a decision to reject that. Jesus says anyone that does that is foolish. The rains descended and the floods came, which they're going to. And the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And what did he say? He said, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. That's the last things that Jesus taught him in the Sermon on the Mount. All of my teachings are there. But if you don't come through me, and you don't believe in these teachings, and you don't do these teachings, there is no fruit, because you don't believe in me, and you didn't come in by me. But it's wonderful that he offers it to everyone. You simply have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him and give your life to him and do these commandments. If you love him, we're going to want to do these commandments, aren't we? If we love him and we do these commandments, he's faithful and just to bring some fruit from our life. He is. I helped Susan a couple of weeks ago. We went and picked some blueberries. It's right around the road from us, a blueberry farm. You know, I've been one time with her, and I'm a professional already. I know how to do it already. You know, took an hour to pick them little things getting up in there. But not all, I told her I was going to work this into a sermon, not all of the little berries on the outside, you see, I told her this, the people walk along and they're easy. They don't want to get up in the bushes and pray and get to the big ones. The little ones on the outside, that's what most people do, and that's okay. Jesus said, When you love me and you serve me, I'm going to give you some good juicy blueberries. We're going to get up in there. We're going to move the limbs. And we're going to do a little work. And the big juicy blueberries are up in there. And you're going to pick those. And I'm going to give you some result, because I'm going to give you the things to do. You enter by the narrow gate, but it's not hard to enter. Because Jesus, isn't it wonderful when he calls us and we hear his name? And by the way, I heard this studying and listening to a video on this. When the shepherds are taking their sheep, The Bible, Jesus says, my sheep know me what? By my voice, right? That makes sense. Okay. When I was a little boy, I had a shepherd dog at the house. I couldn't whistle. So I made this loud shrieking sound, and that dog learned my voice, and it would come to the house when I would do that. The shepherds have a different cadence, okay? There's many of them out there. They have a different cadence that they make, and the sheep learn that cadence. That's what Jesus is saying. They hear my voice. They hear that cadence that I do. And you come in the sheep gate. Isn't it wonderful that it's the Lord Jesus at that gate that we come through every day, right? And we live in every day, that loves us, and he's looking for you, and he's counting you, and he knows exactly where you are, because he's not going to leave you. He's not going to lose you. We belong to him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On Father's Day is just a wonderful way to emphasize what our Heavenly Father has done for us. That he sent his Son to be that gate, that we go in by him. So you tell people, yeah, it's a narrow gate, but it's not a narrow gate to keep you out. It's a narrow gate that says, all enter. All of you come to me. All of you be saved. You don't have to go down that road to destruction. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how you sinned in the past. I don't care how evil you were in the past, because my blood has cleansed you if you come in by me. Amen. And when they come into the church, we forgive, because Jesus has forgiven. Everybody is equal at the foot of the cross. Amen. Everybody is. We're fixing to partake of the Lord's Supper. If the deacons will come.